Oh.
I need to put the retainer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Coordinated. Are they doing okay? Did you ever take them out of the pots?
Yeah,
okay. I apologize. Don't mean to bring it up. Really is. Me and Matt will just have to be your doggy thing for you. Chase them off if we must. I'm recording a lot of silence. It's okay. I can record all the silence I want to. What was it about you that made everybody so mad?
Because I wasn't grown up. So they play money tricks. I'll give you this and give you that. And I ended up losing the money. They stole it. Trying to give me a free time.
You don't have a lot of happy stories that way, are you, really?
No.
Everybody treated you terrible,
they
huh?
Did.
Well, I hope you don't think that way about me. I'm sorry, what were you wanting to do? There's forgiveness, but there's like, I'm not going to be stupid. So they can redeem themselves on somebody else.
Now, if they went back to Mr. Larry and told him, here's the money you're owed because I
played money changing tricks on my sister.
Yeah, or my cousin.
Or whatever.
Or my cousin.
Yeah.
I doubt seriously they did that.
Well, don't know. That's fine. What are they supposed to throw themselves in the lion's den? Because it's some kind of weird therapy. That's why I don't know what to think of. You know, the whole thing of, well, you've got a fear. I think it's irrational. Therefore, we're going to drag you to the valley of the shadow of death. Having to live with... We're going to generate these fears in you and make you sit there and take it.
Until you can overcome.
Until you're just numb to it and you go, you know what? I think that makes you actually wicked. I want to have anything to do with you. So the weird thing is, I'm probably paying you money to do this to me. But, not interesting. That's why when I think of Shana's situation and put the phrasing of faith and devotion and things like that into it, and then I read this morning about rebelling against God, it's like, well, God has His way of seeing you through these things. You threw that aside in favor of a different devotion that basically says, hey, do whatever you want. And it's not bad. It's okay. You can do that. Nothing bad about that. And you go, uh-oh. not too excited about such help. Which throws out any kind of morality whatsoever. And spend most of its time trying to make you feel good when your body and your soul are telling you that this isn't a good idea. But if you hear enough voices around you that say, oh no, this is wonderful. This is going to make you feel better. And I guess you can talk yourself into that. I mean, you can talk yourself, we talk ourselves into Christ. And that He's going to see us through. You go, I'm sure that's basically the same mechanism being used by these guys to say, oh, well, doing this and doing that, changing your gender and throwing out what your evil parents told you. And it's okay, because she spends a lot of time surrounded by people who tell her how wonderful what she did is. You go, well, there you go. Is that going to help you when the push comes to shove? Yeah, that's what it comes down to. Is we can't even praise you for not knowing what to praise. Facebook's the worst place to get feedback from in the first place, so. Yep. Can you go, yeah? And she wants to make sure everybody knows it. I'm not that person anymore. And you go, okay, okay. I don't think much of it. Trust me, plenty of people think that already. It's not a big logic jump. I'm not sitting here saying I was a wonderful parent. But this is, I don't think you're a convincing argument one way or the other. Especially now, since most people don't even know we're related. So that's because you wished it. It was your desire, so happy day. Happy day for you. It says, I get the wonder of understanding in some small way how Heavenly Father and Christ feel. Just being rejected. You go, yep, I'm looking a lot. It's I guess it's good. It's good. It's good to know. And even though it comes up occasionally, you know, it doesn't bother me too much. And I know that makes me a horrible parent too. in the eyes of the vast majority of people, you should really care more about what's going on. You go, nothing I can do. Uh-oh. Well, you better speed up, man. Uh-oh. Hey, the guy in front sets the pace. Matt insists on being in front. He insists on setting the pace. Oh. So, yeah. And I don't know if that informs some of the things I think about now. You know? People say that Christ is so much different from us that he's simply incomprehensible. And I don't think that's true. I think we can comprehend him and how he feels and the way he reacts. I don't think it's... Yeah. I mean, did he say, isn't it life eternal to know God? And the only way we can know God is through Christ? And you're going, you know, if Christ... was a generous person, he was... willing to go the second mile for sure, even though he didn't have a lot of hope that it was going to be taken advantage of by too many, still did anyway. And you go, this is our example of the Father. I think these are comprehensible beings, where everybody else seems to want to put them in on some high shelf where it's like, I don't understand, and I don't, and be like. Does God get mad? He says, yeah. We have lots of instances where we see God angry. Yeah. When he's gone out of his way to do something for them, and they basically show their ingratitude. Yeah, you're going, you know, I don't want it. So yeah, when you get put in situations where somebody's being really ungrateful, but yet they're still demanding of this and this and this, and start using the tools of, well, you're no decent person. You know. Nice people would treat me better. And it's like, you know, I feel a little angry. And you go, I think you're starting to feel how God feels. How Christ feels. And you go, now, what are we going to do? Well, that's a good question. Not in a place to judge. Can't see it all like they can. So, you know, I guess we're just supposed to shrug it off. Get back to work. Now, I don't think that means people are allowed to beat on you and you just roll over and play dead. I don't get any sense that that's what Christ taught too much. He did say, you know, if you're compelled to go 1 mile, go ahead and go 2. Forgive always. But he didn't tell us to forgive and forget. He said that he would forgive and that he would forget, and I think that means insofar as he would make it a feature of whatever punishment or whatever was going to happen later. But he'd also said that if you did it again, then it all comes back to you. You know? You can't use it as some kind of thing. You can't punish me for that. You can only punish me for this. And you go, oh boy, you're telling God his business. That's not smart. This isn't, he already told you. Like, oh, yeah. The active search for the loophole that works in your favor. And you go, it's not a question of loopholes. God's generous and kind. He says, but don't rub his nose in it. This is because you can't do that with impunity. I'm doing a little essay about some of the things that I think lead us astray. And that what Abinadi taught as the criteria for rebellion should be very frightening to all of us, because he doesn't do it as some kind of armed insurrection. That it's actually just being ungrateful. And yeah, the being carried through the sand in our hard times, what's another big thing? Oh, that being baptized is like a big eraser. Oh yeah, you have to believe, and all of a sudden you'll be
saved.
You'll have this big eraser thing, and that stuff will never come back to haunt you. And you're going, well, the whole point is, did you change? Are you now a different person? That's the symbolism of the whole thing: death of the old, rebirth of the new. It's not some magic. It's symbolic. In fact, the church is kind of snotty about the fact that you need to have repented of a majority of your sins before you get baptized. It is not this magic wand or the magic eraser. I'm new. I'm clean. And you're going, only with a lot of prep work. And continuing. Continuing to stay on the right path. Or to continue getting back to the right path. That's probably the better way to say it. In the ways we portray these things, we often not purposefully, but we often set up this situation where we don't really end up changing. And Christ is put into the position of doing, or no, it's not putting him in the position. He's never in that position. People think he should be because he's a nice guy. And you go, he is a nice guy, but change your definition of what nice is. It says, you should worry a lot about your status. You should be worried a little more about your direction, which way you're headed. It isn't Christ's job to force you into paths. It's your job to get on the path. It's your job to stay on the path. It's your job to move forward. Does Christ give us helps along the way? Yes. Does it mean he's personally coming down, parting the heavens, coming down and helping you along baby step by baby step? I go, he can choose to, but I don't think it's required. And putting it into the brains of people that this is Christ is what blew up the wonderful thing of, you know what, I don't have to do anything right. I will give myself over like a rag doll to God, and God will do all the, God will do it. You know, the whole thing of, well, you know, let's sing some praise songs, and that's okay. Basically, the Christian version of Hare Krishna. If you say the name, the minute you die, that's what you get. And you're going, that's kind of what praise songs are for me. He says, I don't think Christ is Hare Krishna. No. Jesus is great. Jesus is good. I love Jesus. Jesus is great. Jesus is good. I love Jesus. With a few different words thrown in, and a few different other things. Praise song. I'm not saying that they're bad. Only if it's a motivation toward doing what needs to be done. They alone don't do it. And now, I mean, gee whiz, the praise songs take no effort. All you have to do is show up, pay your money, raise your sway around a bit. I'm not saying that it's bad. What I'm saying is, if you think that is the crux of your salvation. It's not doing anything. And too often, that's what it ends up being. Thank you, Christ, for being my butler. Thank you for, you know, taking good care of me, which is fine. Like I said, not bad. But if that's all you've got, I'm sorry, there are whole swaths of Christians who that's basically it. That's it. Like, I'm not... It's a bad concept to sit there and do. Is that what we're supposed to be striving for? To take Christ's place? Yes, but when you package it up in a very appealing song... Lee? But if you package it up in a song and throw it at people, they start thinking and believing that. And you know what? That's leading them down the wrong road. Great. Good job, Christianity. Sorry. You can say all day long, oh, it sounds good. And you go, but it's wrong. that's not even the right way to look at what happened. Passion of the Christ is weird because I have never watched it. I don't have to because I listened to what Mel Gibson said about his motivations for doing it, why he did it. He said, my primary thing is that I want people to feel so terrible about the suffering that Christ went through that they will not sin to give Christ something more to suffer for. And it's like, that's actually wrong. So I'm sorry. Christ is not locked up in some cage in some heavenly thing screaming and yelling because he continues to pay in real time or delayed time or whatever for the sins that we do. That's not what's happening. And to have that kind of attitude, you know, it's good that you're not sinning, but there has to be a bigger reason. Because Christ paid that price. But here's the issue. Do you end up repenting? No. Because you soon figure out. Because you talk to your priest or to your pastor or whatever, and he says, oh, no, Christ suffered for all of our sins, no matter what. He says, it's okay. You can sin all you want to. Christ will pay for it. That's his promise. And you're going, what kind of an idiot idea is that? And that's when people say, I don't have to be a better person. In fact, most Christianity doesn't even approach the idea of being a better person. All they say is, isn't Christ fantastic? Which is true. Like I said, it's not untrue, but it's, where is this taking you to? Do you have a purpose? Are you moving forward? Is there some goal you're working toward? And there isn't. It's like if people were to go to a big testing center to be tested, which is basically what we're doing here, being tested, and somebody said, you know what, I know you're here, but guess what? If you just say the name Jesus, you'll make an A+. So, what will people do that are sitting in that testing center? And then they'll blow off the test, right? Doesn't matter. I'm going to get an A-plus out of this. No, because they're wrong. The people who are telling them that in the testing center are wrong. And then there's the whole big group of people who get upset because when they go to the testing center, they start making these weird demands. I need a pillow under my seat. I'm not comfortable. Yeah. Yeah, and you're just going, just take the dang test. Are we going on or turning or, okay. I understand, no, you're Lisa. You can change your mind and it doesn't matter. I'm more like Matt than a normal person. I'm just here as your companion, Lisa. One great saving grace is my service to Lisa, and boy, apparently they don't do so hot at that. So,
no. Warm in here.
Yeah. Whoa. We enjoyed the outdoors a little too much, huh? Oh, being inside all cooped up just doesn't work it. So yeah. All right.